Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics, my fantasy fix, DFS golf podcast. And Skeeter, we get ready for the 3M Open, the TPC Twin Cities. But before we do that, we'll take a look back at the final major of the year. And while I must say it was a wonderful, wonderful display of golf, I am very glad the major season is over. It was a disaster for me. It was a disaster again this week. Even though I had Cam Smith lineups, it was still a disaster for me. About you, how was the Open Championship?
Frustrating. Yeah. I had Rory at 50-1. Hovland at 51. Sorry, I had Rory like 5.5-1. I bet pre-round Saturday. So I thought, going to Sunday. Okay, one of these two are probably going to win. I had no Cam Smith. I had Rory in lineups, and it just didn't end up very well. I had Zalatoris at 1-and-done. Looked like he might make a little bit of a move on Sunday, but didn't get there. So as far as, you know, top finishes, so just, you know, not my best. It's my typical major week where it just did not go very well.
I was just off on everything. Remember we talked about Dustin Johnson. I'm like, oh, what's he motivated for? But Brooks, he'll get motivated because people are talking smack. I couldn't have been more wrong about the two of them. It was just, man, I hit some players, you know, like Bobby Mack was fine, but just missed on some players too. It was a bad week for me and bad major season. It was a bad golf season, Skeeter. So I'm ready to get into the TPC Twin Cities because this field, this is not a major championship field. And so maybe there's some answers here.
No, I mean, what do you mean this isn't a major field? It's like one step above the John Deere Classic.
There's at least one major champion in this field. There's probably more than that. There's two. All right, I've gotten to two.
Okay, Hideki.
2016 PGA champion is in this field.
Jimmy Walker?
Oh, I thought that was Jason Day.
Oh, no, you're right. Walker was 15?
And the only reason I know that is because they were talking about guys that won by 20 under. Winning score, and his was one of the 420 unders in 2016 at the PGA Championship. Jimmy Walker was probably the year before, yeah.
Former Open champion Stuart Sink is in the field.
Former fifth major champion Ryan Moore is in the field, too.
That's right.
So maybe we could get a few more than that. But yeah, that's what kind of field we're looking at, dog.
Silly me, I thought you were talking in the players, and you were talking about your boy Ricky. Danny Willett's in the field.
Masters, that's right, actually. Yeah, you're right. Masters champion. We might have a career Grand Slam if we... No, that's two Masters champions, so probably not.
Do we have a U.S. Open champion?
Not yet. Not that I see. But Skeeter, before we get fully into this field, as I'm kind of bashing the field, but also being a little bit serious, because my goodness, I haven't been good in the majors. Maybe this is the one I finally get going on. And this is a tournament that I do like as we get into the place itself, because you got a lot of water. We've seen different kind of winners here. We've seen two bombers. This is only the fourth time, I believe, we've seen the tournament here. We've seen a couple of bombers and Wolf win and Cameron Champ. Thompson won this thing as well. We've seen some not long hitters win this thing before, or not win, rather, I should say, but play well. There's water. Obviously, it's in the land of 10,000 lakes, Minnesota. Water everywhere. And a par five finisher that has certainly yielded some exciting eagles. So, I mean, I got boo-hoo the field a little bit, but I do like this tournament. So, I don't know about you, but I'm somewhat excited for this thing. Give me some more reasons to be excited or some more things to look forward to.
Yeah, I don't know about excited. I'll give you things to look forward to. But par 71, three par fives. You mentioned 18 is the 18 has the water all along the right side. I don't know if you remember. I think it was round three last year. Gary Woodland hooked a ball so far right.
Yes.
He missed the water and ended up on the driving range. Like,
yes. Stupid. He had to like walk behind the grandstand of 18 to get to the green to finish out.
Yes.
Yes, I do. I forgot about that, but I do remember that now.
Because I also remember, I don't know if this is the first or second year, where I played Dustin and EVR, and they were both Thursday morning, and Dustin had put two in the water on a par five, and then for his like sixth shot, he puts it within 3 feet. It was like the best double bogey ever, but he was done. Yep. And then EVR, I think, put like five balls in the water that round. Like, so I was like, oh, Thursday by noon. All right, well, my week's done. That was great. But then, of course, you know, the first year was that thrilling Wolf over Bryson.
And Colin Morikawa, actually, because Bryson was in the penultimate group and I believe eagled to get the lead, but a birdie from either of the finishers of the final group and Morikawa and Wolf, when neither, I believe, had won on tour yet.
Correct.
I know it was still their
quote-unquote rookie year or their debut year.
And Morikawa had what was seemingly a better putt at eagle to win. Both were expected to make at least birdie to tie with Bryson to go to playoff. And Wolf made the sidewinder from like the fringe to make his eagle putt. Colin didn't answer and Wolf was the winner. Yeah, that was a great finish. And that's where I was like, man, this is a great finishing hole. And it's been, that's probably the best finish so far. But
if I remember right, Morikawa might have even like burned the edge or looked out. Like I think if I remember right, it was a pretty good putt. It just didn't fall.
Yeah, it was typical Morikawa. He couldn't finish with the putter. And it was really, it was a better look. I mean, the announcers were saying that he had found the better spot on the green to be out with a more straightforward look at it.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we've had some good finishes here, but again, this field is not great. Par 71, so three par fives. I think all the par fives are between 550 and 600 yards, so that's something I'm looking at. You mentioned there's like a ton of water on this course. Basically, it almost feels like this is easier Honda or easier PGA National.
I think that that's a reasonable comp, actually. I forget who I was looking at. Oh, Brennan Steele. I was looking at him as maybe a guy to play here. I like that comp.
I believe Michael Thompson has won both as well.
I think that's accurate.
But yeah, because I mentioned like, oh, well, Brennan Steele. And he's popping up in a bunch of the models here. So you mentioned like distance. Yeah, distance is nice, but I don't think it's necessary. These are decent fairways, but again, the problem is if you admit, I mean, I don't think the rough's terrible, but the problem is, well, if you're missing the fairways, you might have other problems in the rough. You might be having water. So that's,
yeah, you might be.
So like, I'm looking off the tee, just kind of that combines a little bit of accuracy and distance approach. Opportunities gained. But I'm also looking at double bogey avoidance, just because if you hit the water, can you find a way to salvage bogey or better out of that? Like, doubles will kill you quickly here. Par 4 strokes gain, par 5s, they're all from 550 to 600, and those are the scoring holes. And the proximity from 175 to 200, 200+. One thing I was wrong on last week was I thought it was top 65 in ties. It was top 70 in ties, and as somebody who had Finau in some lineups, I was very appreciative of his top 70 in ties to get me through, because I believe if it was top 65, there literally would have been 65 golfers to make the cut. So that was a nice break at the Open last week. This week it's back to your traditional top 70 in ties. As we've mentioned, there's been a lot of withdrawals so far. After DraftKings pricing came out, Mark Hubbard and Charles Howell III, EVR, all have withdrawn. There's been a couple others, probably much more down the road as far as pricing and things like that. So keep an eye, especially there's a few golfers who played last week. Keep an eye on them. Hideki, there's live rumors floating all around. We'll see on that. I actually, you know, if we want to get into that minute, I don't think Hideki or any of these other guys are going to, that even if they go to live, I think they're going to hold off.
So Cam Smith faced the question yesterday, didn't really answer it. Got to give the guys from the Golf Channel broadcast well after the fact some credit, because they were able to fashion the question where they got an answer instead of just agitated him. And the question was, hey, you know, there are these other events still coming in the year. Do you see yourself playing in the FedEx Cup, you know, going for the playoffs? Do you see yourself as a part of the international team at the President's Cup? Things that more or less we think are out of the table. We know the FedEx Cup would be, or off the table if you go to the LIV Tour. We don't know that the international team, I don't know that I've heard anything from the international team, whether like Abe Anser and Louis Oosthuizen are off that team already. I honestly haven't paid as much attention to that as I have the Ryder Cup conversation. But Cam Smith said, yeah, I would, you know, I haven't done great headed to East Lake and I would like to compete there. So I think his answer, not that it speaks for anyone else, but I think it speaks to the idea that you would be thinking is in all of their head. If I haven't made the jump now, why wouldn't I see how much money I can make at East Lake? If the idea is I'm going to live to take the paycheck, Why not take whatever's on the table from the PGA Tour first and then take the paycheck from LIV after Eastlake? So I'm not really worried about any LIV defectors at this point. I am certainly worried about following up the Open Championship and traveling back to the United States and potentially seeing some withdrawals because of that.
Right, so I think that's what a lot of people are saying. Can I throw another reason why I don't think anybody's going to jump to LIV that's, you know, potentially going to be Eastlake besides the money? Because I believe I believe if you make the Tour Championship, you get to all four majors the following year.
Mm, which would be a good way to circumvent the potential ban or lack of qualification, which is something that's obviously like the big talking point right now. So that's a very good point.
Right. And then, yeah, and then even try and maybe win a FedEx Cup event to boost up their OWGR points, you know, in case that, you know, at least for a year or two, but who knows? I mean, I think at this point, everybody's
who knows? To That's go. Correct.
There'll be some. I think after Eastlake, I think we're going to see a couple people jump, and it'll be interesting if some of these names that keep getting thrown about, if they're the ones or not. But we'll see. But in the meantime, as we get into the DraftKings pricing, this is bizarre. I don't know if I've ever seen pricing like this before.
Yeah, well, are we ready to get into the pricing?
Yes.
All right, well, I'll start at the 10K tier plus, and you can give me what you think about that and give me what you think is so odd about this pricing, because I assume it revolves around the number of players in 10K and 9K. At 10K plus, we got three guys. Stony Finau at 10.5. It's Hideki Matsuyama at 10.3. It's Sung Jm at 10K even.
Yeah, it's bizarre because, yeah, there's only three guys up here, and I don't remember ever seeing 10.5 to be the highest priced. Like, maybe the early days of DraftKings, maybe that's what way it was, but it's so bizarre. So, I'm between Finau and Hideki. Hideki's probably the best overall player here, but Finau's history here isn't bad, and I think he's in better form. Both right out, I mean, they're 1 and 2 in my model, so it might come down to who is the, you know, is there a significant popularity difference? Right now, it looks like Hideki is going to be less popular. It looks like people are just flocking to Finau. There's no withdrawal risk for Finau, so that might be why. So in a week where there's just going to be limited plays, I might just, you know, I hate to say game theory-wise, but it might be Hideki for me. And he's 200 cheaper, so that's even a bigger bonus.
I don't know. I have no clue how I'm constructing lineups right now. This is going to be a work in progress. We record here on a Monday night. Absolute work in progress, because I'm just not sure what I think of some of these guys in the field. These are some names that we haven't been dealing with a lot lately. So, I mean, I may have some light bulb moments on Tuesday or Wednesday that change everything. But right now, I think I'm going Sung Jm as my number one in this tier. I also might not use anybody in this tier if I play 10 lineups. So the reason I'll go Sung Jm, and I probably do like Finau better, but if he's going to be so heavily owned, then I might just be trying to get off of the heavy owned players here. Sung Jm has won the Honda. This is a Honda core. You know, if we are comping the Honda to this place, Sung Jm's won it there. He's finished 15th the one time he did play here. Has Sung Jm. He's not been playing good. There's no question about it. Since we go all the way back to the Memorial and his T10, it's a miscut. It's a miscut and an 81st at the Open Championship. So there's no recent play that says he should play good here, which is why I'm not sure if I get into this tier, but I'll go with Sung Jm as my favorite, who I obviously is going to be your fate because there's only three guys there.
Right, yeah. Because wasn't there something back in like late May, early June where he either had COVID or he was around?
He did.
He couldn't leave South Korea, and he just hasn't been the same since. So
it's true. 100% true.
And I just think right now, Hideki and Finau are a tier above Sung Jm.
Like, until no argument.
Until we see a little more of Sung Jm, I just can't put him in the same tier.
And that may go back to where I just don't know that I'm playing anybody in this tier, frankly.
That's a consideration. Like, you know, I'm probably playing one or three lineups. If I go three lineups, I might either lock Hideki or Finau or just completely avoid this at all.
So you like the other two. Finau would be my number two. Form's good. I think he's had a decent appearance here as well. I could be totally... No, he's actually been very good here. 28th, 3rd, and 23rd. So All the more reason that if I did decide I wanted to play Tony Finau, I could go to him as my number two here. I just, if he's going to be 30% owned, it's not like I've been tearing the world up with my picks here. So I'm figuring my best chances to get a little bit different than other people.
Well, you know what? This is a week to do it because how many people are going to put a ton of research into this? It's limited. And there's just going to be more concentrated ownership and popularity here because there's only seven guys above 9,000. So even if you're, you know, most people are just going to start with somebody here just because do they really want to start in the 8K range?
Yeah, it's easy enough to click one of these guys and then pick from the 7Ks. And, you know, are you that much more enamored with the high 7Ks versus the low 7Ks? We'll find out later. But so I'm fading Hideki, but that's because I have to pick a third in this tier is really what it is. Sung JM is right now is just a play on percentage ownership.
That's fair.
Let's go to the 9Ks, and we got Sahith Theegala at 9,800. Adam Hadwin at 96. Mav McNeely is 93. Davis Riley is 9K even. Skeeter, that's your 9K tier. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's a odd 9K tier. I think for me, the potential highest upside. Well, there's two guys here I think who have the most upside, and that's the two I'm between. I'm going to go with Davis Riley. Over past 36 rounds, number one bogey avoidance, 10th in opportunities gained, 8th off the tee, 6th in par 4s, 15th in that par 5 range. Not the best at double avoidance, but I'm weighing that very, very loosely. He can be a little bit boom or bust, and, you know, but he has an upside. I think he'll probably, let's see, am I right or wrong on this? No, I'm wrong on this. I was going to say, I thought he was going to be a little lower than Theegala, but no, he's most popular in this tier. So he's still, I like his upside at 9K. That feels like a quote-unquote comfortable price, so that's probably why I'm on him.
Oh, man. I guess I got to go with Adam Hadwin as my favorite. His course history here is really good. He's sixth last year, fourth 2 years ago. Did not play in 2020. So two top six finishes in the two times he's played here. I don't mean to be a silly goose here, Skeeter, but Minnesota and Canada are really, really similar. So lay of the land, a lot of lakes. I mean, it's the truth. You get to about that you get into Minnesota or Wisconsin when you start driving north into Canada, something I've done a ton, and it looks, you know, that change from like Illinois to Minnesota is a lot more stark of a change geographically than the change from Minnesota to Canada. Now, obviously the street signs, the buildings, you know, the lifestyle, that all different, but it really should be a similar kind of golf course to something Adam Hadwin's played his whole life. And that's probably why he's been very good here. And oh, by the way, before the miscut at the John Deere, my man was good, and he played good in round two after he had a bad round one at the John Deere. I am worried he will be very popular, but I'd rather be popular at 9,600 than popular at 10,500.
No, I think it looks like Hadwin and McNeely are going to be a little bit – like it's those two kind of around 15-ish percent. Again, this is Monday night on Fantasy National. Theegala 17, Davis Riley 24. So maybe McNeely gets – I mean, I don't know. Again – I don't know who, you know, I'm not sure anybody 9K plus, maybe 8,900 plus, is going to be single digits just because there's only seven guys, eight if you include Cam Davis at 89, we'll get there, that, you know, I mean, everybody's going to start there. Like, is anybody really going to start? I mean, how many lineups are going to start with Tringali, Reavy, Long in the upper eights? Like,
I'm going to start one with that. I do like playing an all 8K line. When I go 10K or 10 lineups, I do like seeing if I can fit six guys from 8K or five and one from 7K. So, like, that is something I'm actually probably going
to
do.
And I think this is a week. I mean, I think this is a week to do it because, you know, Matthew Wolf, I believe, was a long shot when he won. Michael Thompson certainly would have been. Cam Champ was. Like, this tournament hasn't exactly had favorites win. So, if, you know, in a week where we're concerned already about lineup builds and popularity and all that, I think, you know, taking a shot with that will make yourself very unique. And if for some odd reason these top guys flame out and it's all these 8K guys, boy, you're going to be really far ahead of the field. I don't think it's completely implausible either.
So you like Riley as the number one here. Do you have a stance as a number two? Or?
Yeah, it's Thigala.
Okay.
Again, just the highest upside here out of anybody in this range, him or Riley. He rates out very well across all lengths of models, over 36 rounds. Doesn't do anything spectacular, but he's very solid across the board. You know, I think people would be like, well, why am I paying $9,800 for Thigala when I can pay up $200 more for him or $500 for Hideki? But Thigala, I mean, he has an upside that we've seen. You know, I'll look at this, but his two close calls were at Scottsdale and at Travelers, right?
Mm-hmm. Travelers, he was T2. He was T5, but he wasn't really in contention at the Memorial. Like, he never felt like he was a guy that could win. He was T7 at Valspar, too, but yeah, T3 at Waste Management.
I mean, both of those were TPC courses. He kind of had a nice rally at Deer Run, so maybe he just likes the TPC courses.
Dang, he was going to be my fade, but you might be talking me out of it.
I mean, his past five finishes, fifth of the Memorial, which, yeah, I don't remember that one. I was too busy cussing out or getting mad at Cam Smith choking away that.
That was a tough Sunday for him.
Well, that was a tough week for me, too, because I was thinking I was catching very nicely, and all of a sudden catch none.
53. And nobody was catching Billy Horschel either, so that's why I don't really remember Thigala being up there. Like, I don't even remember crossing him on the course.
Right. 53rd at Canada, 2nd at Travelers, 16th at Deer, 34th at Open. I mean, he's playing well enough. He's playing better than Sungjae. Might be playing better than Hideki.
He is.
So, I mean, that's probably – and again, I think his upside is right there, so he's my second.
I was going to have McNeely as my second because he's just been on fire for 3 weeks straight. Going back to John Deere, he's had three top 20s, including a good Scottish Open field.
Did he play last week at Barracuda?
He did. He was good at Barracuda, which I'm like my reasoning for fading Thigala, and we'll see. Right now, that's how I came into this program doing it, so I'm going to stick with him as my fade. I also didn't use him in our league last week. It didn't matter because I came in second to last anyway, but I chose plenty of other golfers over him and didn't use him. I faded him in a group of 8 or 10 last week. But he's making that trip back from the Open Championship. None of these other three guys are.
I think Gala did.
No, I'm saying he's the only one.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
So hence the reason. That's why I was going to fade him. But then, oh, by the way, he finished 34th at that Open Championship that nobody else even qualified for. So should I really be thinking that to fade him because he was good enough to make that tournament when no one else was? And he acquitted himself pretty well. So maybe I'm a fool for fading him. That's where I came into this tier thinking. But you've kind of made me do a 180. Maybe I don't have a fade in this tier.
Yeah, I mean, or again, just start here at the nines. Like, if you play three of these guys in nines and some of the sevens, that might be another unique build, too.
Well, all right, I don't have a fade then. So, did you have an official fade?
I mean, it's going to be McNeely for me. Hadwin feels more cash game as McNeely. Yeah, he's had nice three tournaments. Stat-wise, not great double avoidance, not great in the 175-plus category. So that's just more of issues for me. But I'm not going to tell you it's the strongest fade I've ever had.
Let's get into the 8Ks. I don't think any of our feelings in this tournament are going to be the strongest we've ever had, are they?
No.
Let's get into the 8Ks. We'll start at 8,900, Cam Davis. And we got Cameron Tringali at 88, Chez Reavy at 87, Adam Long, 86, JT Poston, 85, a couple withdrawals in this tier. So Brennan Steele will be at 83, Marty Laird, 82, Nick Hardy, 8K even. Skeeter, we at least have some options here. Who do you like as your favorite?
Well, I'm not alone in this one. He's going to be very popular. Brennan Steele. I believe he has won Honda. Am I correct on that?
He's the guy that I always bet at Honda. If he hasn't won it, he's great at it religiously.
Yes, that feels right. What has he done here?
Not a great tournament history. He's only played here once.
Okay. So
I think it was 53rd or something.
Yeah, it was the first year. Okay. I mean, that's just too small sample size for me to get up in arms about. We could look at Honda. Yeah, because I feel like he's won there. He has not won there, but he has a third, a fourth, an 11th, 14th. So
yeah, I know I've cashed a Brennan Steele ticket with a top six. I mean, I bet him every year at that tournament, regardless of form.
And would you like to guess shocking reason why the two missed cuts he's had recently there since 2015? Would you like to guess why he missed cuts there?
No. Water? No. Missed putts? Putting?
Yes, putting, yeah.
I was going to say water, but that wouldn't be good for other, yeah. We'll go putting, since it was correct.
Yeah, of course. But no, over 36 rounds, he's number one off the tee. He's third double avoidance, ninth opportunities gained, eighth in approach. Not great birdies, but better. That's concerning. Fourth in approximately from 175 to 200, eighth from 200 plus. Like, he hits all that. He hits that Honda narrative. Problem is, he's going to come in 20%-ish. Like, there's enough correlation there. So that's why he's my favorite. But do we really want to start playing 20% plus Brennan Steele? I don't think I do.
He's only 33-1 at the book I go to.
This field, in fact, I think there's somebody else in the sevens that's around the same price, maybe a little shorter than that.
I'm looking. I don't see him right now, but I'm looking at a different place than you. So I like Steele, and I'll probably use him. As I said, I'll probably be heavily loaded up in the 8Ks. I think I got to go Adam Long as my favorite, though. He had been playing pretty good, three top 25s in a row. Granted, they weren't the strongest field, but that's exactly what we have here. The Canadian Open, the Travelers Championship, and the John Deere Classic. And Adam Long, along with Adam Hadwin, a nice history here. Sad that I wanted to play the Adams stack here. But he was 25th last year and second the year before. Missed the cut the first year around here. So Adam Long seems like a really nice fit into a lot of lineups here at 8,600.
Doesn't rate out well for me, except 36 rounds for his good double avoidance, good par four player, good off the tee, good approach. So don't hate it. JT Poston still playing pretty well. Did he make the cut last week at the Open? He did not. He might have been. But coming off the second at Travelers.
But he was plus two. I mean, he had two plus one rounds. He wasn't terrible.
Okay. But yeah, coming off the Travelers, second place finish there, and then winning at John Deere. The irons were on fire. You know, this is probably more, a little more of a better spot for him than the Open. So I think he's worth a look as well. How about the guy who came in second place? I think he finished second last week. He was in contention. Martin Laird at Barracuda.
He's my number two, bro. He won Honda, too, this year or last year or something like that recently, hasn't he?
No, he won. Do you want me to remind you the last time he won?
Was the last time he won in Vegas when he beat boy in that playoff? Well, either way, that's a good comp to Matthew Wolf, who maybe or maybe isn't my boy. I still love him. But he also beat Matthew Wolf, so, I mean, he plays Matthew Wolf course as well. Matthew Wolf won here. That's a lame-ass correlation, but you just got it.
Let's see. What is Laird's history at Honda? He's missed four cuts at Honda, but he hasn't played there since 2016, so how about pretty...
Why did I think he won that then, dude? Where's my head at?
I don't know. Is there another... Maybe there's another Florida course that he... Let's see. No, it's not done well Valspar.
Has not. It could just be a swing and miss for me.
Yeah, he's been okay API. He doesn't like Florida, apparently. The Shriners have some water.
I mean, that was so long ago, and I was watching football when they played that tournament. I don't remember.
I remember you being very angry when he made that putt to beat Wolf.
I was very upset. Yeah, I cried.
The next day on the podcast, you had some choice words for me, I believe.
Yeah, you earned them.
That's fair.
I still like Marty Laird. I still like how he's playing. I still like the fact that he was 13th at Travelers, 30th at John Deere, and 3rd at the Barracuda.
Yeah. One other guy I have, again, University of Illinois guy, Nick Hardy. He's got four straight top 35s. He's 30th at Deere, 8th at Travelers, 14th at the U.S. Open, 35th at Canada. Approach numbers have been there. He's really been good off the tee. Putter's been okay. Around the green was slightly better, but around the green really does not matter much here, surprisingly. 8K, I think he's good double avoidance, good birdie or better game, so that's a nice combination. Good off the tee, so he caught my eye a little bit.
Don't we have to be interested in Chez Reavie here? He was 11th here last year. He's coming off of a win at Barracuda. He was 8 at Travelers. He missed the cut in between there. But, I mean, this seems like Chez, if you keep the driver straight, this is a good place for him. Because you don't have to be long. Long has won here, but we've seen guys like him play well. Ryan Armour has played well here, so you don't have to be crazy long. I think this is a good spot for Chez. I like him, even though he's coming off the win.
Let's see. So when he won at the Travelers back in 2019, his next 5 starts, missed at Rocket Mortgage, missed on a number at the Open, 27th at St. Jude, the WGC, 40th at Wyndham, 38th at Northern Trust, and then 57th at BMW. Different fields. I'm not on him. I'm not going to fault you for it.
Okay. Just figure he's worth bringing up here.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I don't know if I have a real strong feeling for a fade in this tier either, quite honestly.
I don't know, Golly.
I can't fade him. He's a member of the family.
Really?
Well, my brother gave him. He gave my brother that signed golf ball.
That's fair. Okay, that's right. I forgot about that. I mean, I have Cam Davis starred, but he's coming in similar popularity as Davis Riley, so that just doesn't feel like... he's been struggling a little bit. He played well at Barracuda, I believe. He's 8th at John Deere.
I think he's my fade just because at that price, I'm probably reaching up to Davis Riley instead.
Yeah, I think I'd rather play Riley than Davis as well.
Are we ready to go 7K?
Yes.
This should be interesting. The defending champ, Cameron Champ, in this tier at 7,800, along with a whole host of other characters, including some that have withdrawn. Skeeter, where are you going? You got a favorite in this tier?
Favorite's a loose term, but I have guys I like. I guess, if I'm going to play upside, Chris Gotterup, he's been playing well. I guess he burned everybody at Barbasol, your tournament, but, he rates out pretty well in approach, opportunities gained, birdies are better, par 4. He has, at least a top 10? 4th at John Deere. Horrible Barbasol. It was all around the green, and that just doesn't matter much here. I think he'll be popular because he's just a more of an upside guy, so... He's going to be my first one for the 7Ks.
I cannot lie to you. I do not feel comfortable about plucking a 7K guy and telling you that I'm all about him. Am I foolish to say I want to go back to the defending champ, Cameron Champ? He hasn't made a cut in forever. But at 7,800, I feel like he's not crazy expensive. I don't know. He's not playing good here. He won before. His number 66 at the book. That's all kind of alarming, but at the same time, he is one of those players that could absolutely just pop.
Yes. And you know what? He might just be a better bet, and that way you don't have to worry about him killing your lineups, because, I play him at John Deere thinking, okay, well, he's got some ability here, and he missed a cut, so, but he's one that his form just doesn't really matter. So, if you're playing 10 lineups, sure. In my case, where I'm playing 1 or 3, he's not going to be there. If I want him, I'll bet him. And then, if he wins, great. I get the money on him. If not, so it doesn't kill my DraftKings lineup.
That's a valid point, because I am searching in 7K. I'll be honest with you. Everybody that I look at, as you would imagine, has glaring reasons not to play them.
Can I give you somebody who's very underpriced at 28-1? He's 28-1 at the book. But he's only 7,300, and casuals are not going to play him.
Who you got?
Joo-Hyun Kim, or Tom Kim. Played really well at the Scottish. I think he was 3rd at the Scottish. 47th last week, 23rd at the U.S. Open. He got special temporary membership after his Open Championship. I believe he's top 50 in the world. I believe he'd been playing mainly on the Asian Tour, but... He made cuts at both major the past 2 major championships. He missed at the PGA. It was a terrible PGA for him. I don't know anything about him as far as approach numbers, things like that. But if you're gonna give me a top 50 golf rankings guy, and I know the rankings can be flawed, but he's playing pretty well right now, and at 7,300, and the book apparently, again, DraftKings Sportsbook for me, it has him at 28-1, so they apparently think something of him.
I'm feverishly scrolling for the number on him at my book, and I don't see him listed, period. I'm on my second time through the price listing, so he may well not be even offered at the book I go to.
He might have been an addition today or last night.
Yeah, he's not on. I don't see him listed on my spot. I will most assuredly mark him down. What about CT Pan? He was one of the guys I'm considering. Does he do anything for you?
He always does stuff for me. Like, he's like that guy. Like, okay, bad field. You know what? I'll play CT Pan. He's going to be in this $7,500 range. He's going to be probably a top 30. He'll probably make a cut. It's like he missed a Travelers, but other than that, he's been a consistent cut maker. Hasn't had anything better than 15th at Wells Fargo, but I mean, former winner on tour, 9th in approach, 23rd opportunities gained, 23rd par 4 strokes gained, 7,500. Yeah. I don't know if I'd bet him to win, but yes, I have no problem with CT Pan.
Any other names that are standing out to you?
Svensson has, I mean, he's been a scorer, but again, he can be very volatile. Griot at 7,600. He missed at the Open, but he was second at John Deere. He's been playing a little bit better. He at least feels like he's got a little bit of back glass here. Higo is starting to show some life. Like, he was 47th at the Open, had an 18th at Memorial. Like, maybe that's just a better bet instead of letting tank DraftKings lineups, but that was a name that kind of jumped out. What has he been doing? Austin Smotherman rates out very well, but he's had a little bit of struggle recently in the past four tournaments. One missed cut and nothing better than four, or two missed cuts, nothing better than 44th. But all those missed cuts he missed on the number at Deer. Putter's been the issue, so for some odd reason he figures that out. But other than that, I have a couple other names, but I'll hold off on them.
Dylan Fratelli. That's one that I was interested in. You didn't mention.
What's he at?
7,600, I believe.
Dylan Fratelli. I mean, better name. Okay. 30th at the Deer, 47th at Genesis, 28th at the Open. Has he played here before?
I did not even look at that one.
Dylan Fratelli. Miscut 46.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, again, I'm not overly worried about samples about tournament history here. All right, so I got a former John Deere Classic winner.
What about one Richard Fowler, 34th last year when he wasn't playing any better than he's playing now? He's playing a little bit better now. He's got to make the cut in this field, right? He's made the cut in everything but one event, the Travelers, going back to his missed cut at the RBC Heritage in April.
I'm not going there. It's like I'm not going to Jason Day. But what a little tier here. Champ, I mean, your guy Palmer, Champ, Day, Fowler, Todd.
I can't play Palmer, can I?
No, because doesn't Ryan Palmer have a little bit of issue with when there's a lot of water around?
And he's like, yeah, he hasn't played here. He's not playing great. There's no John Rahm history for me to correlate to him.
Oh, that's right. And it's not Texas, so.
Yeah. So he is my guy, but he literally probably is going to be my fade.
Dang, Willett I liked for Lynx Golf, but he didn't do much.
Willett didn't do a lot for me this past week. I don't see myself turning to him. I considered him, but I can't see myself turning to him either.
There's one guy I want to check real quick. Okay. It was like Matthias Schwab, but he didn't do anything at Barracuda. He popped at the John Deere a little bit, so like I was maybe that's the only reason I looked at him, but yeah, we're just at the point. Two other guys who at least of course when I looked at some of the models kinda popped a little bit. Chesson Hadley has been okay in the intermediate rounds. He ranks 8th in the past 12 rounds. Why would he do that? 5th at Travelers, 10th at John Deere, and then just didn't do anything at Barbasol. So maybe a flyer there. I think the same reason. Tyler Duncan. I feel like I've used him recently, and that just hasn't worked out overly great. But yeah, 13th at Barbasol, 48th at 46th at Travelers.
Okay, that's a great name for this course, because every time he puts one in the water, you could say Duncan dunked one.
Oh, nice.
Boy, is that a terrible dad joke. I slept all day, too. I've got brain power.
Why is Tyler Duncan not sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts?
He will be soon. I'm still trying to figure out why Cam Young's sponsored by Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean...
Always gets me. I know he's not the only guy. Johnny Vegas is, too, isn't he? Like, there's a few guys that have that MLB logo, and I'm like...
I didn't know in Vegas. Wasn't Peter Malnati also
a member? Maybe. I could have gotten... I know he's sponsored by Kind Bars. I just remember because he's a kind guy sponsored by Kind Bars.
Hey, I like my Kind Bars, so...
Maybe it's not Vegas. Maybe it's... I thought he was sponsored by MLB, too.
It could be.
That one cracks me up. I don't know why.
Is he in this field? No. Dang it.
I don't think so. No. No. He'd be in the 9Ks, dude.
Well, I was also going to use this stupid narrative if he was in this field. Hey, remember, he won the Canadian Open twice, and that was always the week after the Open in the past, so...
There you go.
One other name, if you want to play some form, and by form I mean making cuts, Hayden Buckley, 7,100. He's made 4 cuts in a row. His irons are good. His tee game is good. His putter, not good. But, I mean, 14th at the U.S. Open, 43rd at Travelers, 30th at John Deere, 63rd at Barbasol. He's making cuts.
Honestly, that's what I'm looking for in this range.
I mean, not exciting, but...
Can I play Bo Hostler here? Or is he just going in too many lakes?
I don't... Well, he's 144th at approach over 36 rounds, so that's usually not a good sign for him. I will pass. I mean, like, there's other guys here, like John Ha had been playing well. I think he's a little bit... Tom Hoagie, remember we were playing him all the time at the beginning of the
year? He hasn't made a cut in forever. I have him written down. He's a guy who can pop and absolutely make some birdies, but I can't endorse him. But I'm going to use him.
I mean, Callum Tarran was 31st at the U.S. Open, 6th at John Deere. Missed out on a number of Travelers and Genesis.
I feel like I must have used him at Genesis then, because at Scottish Open, because I... Yeah, he burned me. Or I was on him, and I'm not anymore. And there's got to be... That must be the reason, amongst a million other people that have done so.
Yeah. But I think I'm at the point of just naming names, just trying to figure out something here.
I do think I'm fading Ryan Palmer, because he hasn't been so wonderful lately outside of the Scottish Open, and that felt like an out-of-nowhere, out-of-body experience. So I am fading Ryan Palmer, because I'd rather play Goddard up. I'd probably rather play Champ or Fowler below him. Or I'd rather find a few bucks and play Steele or Laird.
I'll fade Bo Hostler.
Oh, that's dirty. I'll still use him. But I do know he's a dangerous man. Are we ready to go 6K?
Sure.
Are we going 6K?
Oh, I think I found a couple guys to slum with here.
There are names that I will entertain. Will I use them? We will find out. I'll start with you. Where are you going in 6K?
I mean, hey, fifth major winner Ryan Moore is popping up here. Good approach, good opportunities gained. He's making cuts. I mean,
that's all I need. That is all you need from 6K.
Again, he's probably historically better player than half this field. Now, granted, I don't like that John Deere and Barbasol is very putter reliant, but his approach numbers have been okay. Sure. I mean, I can always play Ryan Moore, so I don't know how much of an endorsement that is.
I might turn back to Matt Wallace, because he, I think, is a really good player, too.
Yeah.
He has missed the cut the last two times out, but he was playing well before that. Everybody with 6,900 is going to have some warts. I could get after some Matt Wallace. I still could probably turn to Hank Lebioda here, who before missing the cut at Barracuda, which is troublesome given the field it is. It's also a wacky tournament with the Stableford scoring. So I will take a chance at Hank Lebioda also at 6,900.
That's two decent finishes here, 34th and 26th.
I may take more than a few shots at him then, because I had not looked at his. And what about the aforementioned Peter Malnati? He's made two cuts in a row.
No. I was like, what in the world happened to him? I mean, I go through my phases of using him. I actually, looking up one guy, Austin Cook kind of popped for me in recent models. 13th at Canada, 63rd at Travelers, 16th at Deere, 27th at Barbasol. So, I mean, he's carrying some form in here, and then I even have a guy at 6,300 for you.
Who you got?
I believe this is a name from the past. I think he had a... Yeah, he's coming back from, you know... Unfortunately, Sangmun Bae has never really recovered from military service, but Sun Yil No has been playing okay. 35th at Canada, 43rd at John Deere, 44th at Barbasol. Good approach with the irons. Putter's been there. He struggles off the tee, which I'm going to have to look and see if that's distance or accuracy. If it's accuracy, that's an issue. If it's distance, I can survive. I can live with that here. But for 6,300, for a guy who has, I mean, 35th, 43rd, 41st, not great, but he's made three cuts in a row, and they're not in the 50s or 60s or 70s. For 6,300, I don't think it's awful.
There are three guys at 6,700 that I would like you to convince me whether or not I'm crazy to think about. Harry Higgs.
No, pass. What's he done recently?
A commercial that I saw on TV recently, and he was 11th at Barracuda. And while I get it, he's not playing great. This seems like a field where Harry Higgs could. I mean, this is a guy we've seen like finish in the top 10 at majors. He was a top 10 at the PGA last year, right? Not that long ago.
He's 14th in the Masters this year.
I mean, I'm going to give Harry Higgs at 6,700 a look. Henrik Norlander finally made a cut at the Barracuda. I used to like using him. Is that enough?
Pass.
All right. What about Scott Gostchewski?
He had a little stretch where he was at least rating well, but...
Yeah, and where did that go? Because he's not anymore. He was 5th at Barracuda, but hadn't made a cut in a while either.
That was around... You know, that was the alternate field events in 18th Valero. Did he make the cut at Barracuda?
He did. He was good at Barracuda.
Okay, because he had missed a bunch of cuts beforehand, so...
He was 5th, I think.
All right, I'm passing on that one. I mean, okay. I was waiting for you to mention Satoshi Kodaira, who 30th at the John Deere, 27th at Barbasol.
I'm always willing to take a flyer on anyone at this price if you give me a reason to look at them.
I feel like Sung Yel knows my flyer here.
Anyone else in the 6Ks that we are even considering? Oh, there is one other player I am considering.
I got one. Go ahead.
Richie Werenski. He hasn't been good at all, but he was like third here 2 years ago, and he did make the cut at the Barracuda.
One guy who's been good in college, maybe in a Goddard mold, and I think did he win a USAM or maybe he was like runner-up? Cole Hammer from Texas.
I was looking at him, yeah. I was considering him because Ekrod, I think, played good here.
Yes.
Too, right? And those are very similar players, at least in their stage of their career. Yeah, Ekrod was 16th here last year.
Really bizarre one. If you're playing a sample size of three for tournament history, there's a guy who actually has three decent finishes, and he's in the lower 6Ks, Duffner.
I did see him scrolling through here. How did I miss him in this part?
Because he doesn't rate out well in anything else.
Oh, he's a 6,200. He's so low. But yeah, I did notice he had a sneaky three, top, what was it, 40th? 30th, 20th, something like that. I'm making them up.
I just had to pull up too. 28th, 32nd, 66th.
Okay. That was kind of close. But yeah, he's actually, that's a good call because I wasn't thinking about going this deep and there you go. I'm actually interested in him too.
Okay. I have a
fade. But I don't think I have anything else.
I have a fade.
Who are you fading?
Let's see. You should know the name, but we'll see if you recognize Marty Fish.
Isn't he the tennis player?
Yes, he got a sponsor.
I do remember seeing that he got in this thing.
Like, I mean, you know what? Good for you, 3M. I mean, it's better than. I mean, we have some guys who haven't won. Former champions. You know, from 10, 15 years ago on tour playing. Like, give yourself a little extra publicity here. Give the guy good for Marty Fish. Like a lot of the Korn Ferry guys who probably would be here are staying around to secure their card on a Korn Ferry tour. So you know what? Good for them. Good for Marty Fish. Let's see how he does. But I'm not playing.
I am not fading him either, or playing him either. I would say I am not going to play Ben Crane. I love me some Ben Crane, but at 6,300, I will not play him. I do love him though.
Okay.
Hasn't been more than his best finish that I can find is top six is 63rd. And that's in fields like this.
By the way, I think one other, if you're going to play again, is random course history thing. Bo Hoag has two top 20s in a row here.
That is certainly something to note as well.
6,800. 60th at John Deere, but has missed everything else since. And that was all putter, by the way, at John Deere.
Well, that's all right. We can do a little putting here. I have nothing further in the DraftKings aspect of this fine program. What about you?
I don't.
Skeeter, I mentioned at the top of the show, when we picked LIV golfers, I couldn't have picked worse. I picked Brooks Koepka over Dustin Johnson in the big time, big game hunter from the LIV tournament or tour. And that's who I picked as well in one and done. So I got a whopping $0, which is easy to convert from pounds when I bring it back from across the pond. The exchange rate, whenever you multiply by zero, is zero.
This is an accurate statement. I mean, I'm not real thrilled. I got 90,000 from Willie Z, but I dropped a little bit in the standings. So I'm in an interesting spot here because I still have Hideki.
I mean, I would just use him.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
You and the other 40% of the players in this field that still have him should use him. Who else would you use? I mean, I'm assuming you use Finau and him.
Yeah, I use Finau at Wells Fargo. I'm not sure how that turned. I use Sungjae at Farmers. Good grief, I don't know how that's... That was early season. I'm sure that didn't work out very well.
I mean, the other 78% of us are going to use Adam Hadwin.
Or, I mean, Thigala.
Thigala or Long. I mean, that's... Everyone's going to use those guys. Some folks may save Hideki if they still have him. I wouldn't know what for. But maybe as a high-end talent when we get into the playoffs. But I would use him. Skeeter, before you take my advice, though, please keep in mind that I am in 3,731 31st place.
Nice.
No, that's not nice. I have won $3,619 on the air. That is probably – you've probably won that much in two tournaments.
I'm at $9.8 million. But you know what? If you're gonna struggle like this, like if it's just not your year – hell, you might as well just root for every guy you pick to miss the cut so you can say, hey, look, I finished bottom 1%. Because guess what? Next, it's likely to flip in an instant within a year or two. Like, it happens. It's like when you get the you play a lineup and none of your guys make the cut. It's an awesome achievement. Like, it's the variance of what we do.
I hope to continue to achieve awesomeness, saving it all up for next year, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, hey, I had a horrible year last year. My whole season was made on one event in January, so.
Amen. Amen. And you were not good in one and done, and now look what you're doing now. Look at you now.
Yeah.
Well, Skeeter, I probably will just fire in Adam Hadwin and move on because he is a player I like, and I'm certainly not going to use him again the rest of the year. I hope you make the right selection. If I were you, I would pick Hideki. But if I were you, I'd have picked a lot of different golfers throughout the course of this season.
Well, Hideki's in there right now. So if he withdraws for who knows a multitude of reasons, because again, Hideki is one who does have a little bit of a withdrawal history. Thigala, or if I really want to get really bizarre, Tom Kim.
That would be unique. That would probably be a way to catapult you from the masses that still have Hideki. I would not get that unique, but to each his own.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm not sure if I'm, I don't think I can win it all, so I might as well try to win as much money as I can, and I don't even know if $9.8 million is enough to win the, to cash. I don't know how long it takes.
It's not. Keep fighting. Keep peeling that paper.
Right, so just get the cash, and hey, play the best players you can. It usually has worked out decently well, or at least hopefully you time it so you get the best players at the right time.
Skeeter, do you have anything else for the TPC Twin Cities event this week, known as the 3M Open?
I do not, and we will not be doing this next week for Rocket Mortgage. I will be on my way to Atlantic City, so we will take next week off.
Skeeter will be a Rocket Man on the way to Atlantic City.
Ooh.
I'm such a loser with my dumb puns. I amuse myself. I don't know if I amuse anyone else. But I
thought
I
you were going with the Elton John reference, which I am all for. I love Elton John's music.
All right, well, good. It was. It also, I know you're a big fan of movies. That was used in The Rock when Nicolas Cage fired that rocket from Alcatraz.
I'll take Crickets. Your word on it.
Skeeter has not seen that Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage classic, The Rock.
That seems like a bizarre pairing of actors.
It was a good movie. It actually was a good movie. Okay. Alcatraz was a fine setting for that movie. At any rate, I digress, Skeeter. I have no more to give for the 3M Open.
Yeah, I don't either.
Good luck to you. Good luck to everyone listening. I appreciate that. For Skeeter Robinson, I'm James Adams. This has been the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix, DFS Golf Podcast.